and welcome to the second episode of the FM Notebook with me, your host, Gaffer Graymo. Thank you very much. First of all, I want to say for all the positive feedback I've gotten from last week, all the bits of encouragement I've gotten from the members of the community, thank you very much. Looking at the stats earlier on today, I was really, really happy to see how well it's gone and set a benchmark. So hopefully each week now we can give ourselves a nice little platform here to build on. So again, I want to start off, welcome you all to the second episode, whenever, wherever in the world you are listening to this. So, in starting episode 2, it is me again on my own. There is no guest again this week. I know some members of the community found that it really interesting and actually found that it was a positive, a strength, something that really set this podcast aside, that it's me, Gaffer Graymo, on my own. So I want to say, all of the interaction, all the conversations, all the chats that I have today will all be based on my interactions with you and your interactions between all the community members on all the social platforms. I'm especially active on Twitter. I do throw my eye on Slack from time to time, and I want to thank those people who've joined the Slack, my Slack channel, Gaffer Graymo, this week, and have again interacted with the materials, the questions, getting ready for the pod this week. I want to thank all those people again for contributions, because that's what really makes this podcast interesting. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering about getting involved, you can tweet me at Gaffer Graymo. I'll be launching a question again later on this week ahead of next week's podcast recording. So if you do want to get involved, you are more than welcome to. In starting episode 2, I want to introduce the topic first of all, and the topic this week is assistant managers. But before we get involved in the talk about assistant managers, we're going to launch straight into the team report and my save update. And I'm going to be very, very quick, tell you this very, very quickly. I haven't played Football Manager on my laptop in the past week. Here in Ireland, the 2 weeks either side of Easter are off for schools, and fortunately being a teacher, it gives me 2 weeks off, which you'd say is great. I'd love 2 weeks off this time of year. But as my other half is also a teacher, she was also off and kept me busy and away from the game despite my protest. So it meant that I had to live Football Manager in the past week through blog posts, through Twitter, through Slack, and through Twitch, which I'm starting even to get more and more. I'm starting to watch more and more, really. A lot of the content on there is really intriguing. It's nice to see different styles, hear different voices, and hear how people approach the game. So for me, the Rayo Vallecano save has not progressed since last week. We left ourselves top of the table last week at the start of December 2018. I did get a chance to play some FM Touch, though, on my iPad. A rare occasion, a rare few minutes. For those of you who might have seen on my Slack channel, I did start a save with Leon. There were a team I was seriously considering managing in the main version of Football Manager, but I've actually kind of fallen out of love with that save. I've had a few issues with players, especially Nabil Fekir. Nabil Fekir basically demanded to leave when interest came in. I said no. Fekir went on a moaner to the press. The players went on a moaner to the press about me not letting Fekir go. I sold Fekir. Then the players, the fans, and the board started complaining to me about letting Fekir go. And I left it there because obviously with Touch it's a bit more streamlined game. It's not as in-depth and engaging. So it's very hard to see how you can pick yourself up, how you can build up the reputation, how you can build up the relationships with others. The dynamics tab is missing, which is something normally I wouldn't have noticed before this year, but it's because I've been dropping in and out with in the main Football Manager computer PC version that I've actually kind of felt I needed to see what I'm doing wrong and how I can build a relationship back up, what players are on my side. So I made the decision today that I'm going to walk away from that save, because if the players, the board, and the fans are all against me, they're all unhappy with a decision I made to sell Fekir for my own happiness. I've walked away there. After all, with touch, it's kind of a time filler, really, is how I play it, because I do have access to the full version most of the week. So I'm now in the process of considering where I'm going to go with my FM touch, because I found it very, very hard to kind of get into it this year. I did start off with Bromma Pokjarna in Sweden, BP. I think I pronounced that correctly. BP, anyway. But because of the success of Michelinho on Viva La Vida's blog, I kind of stepped back, because I wanted to see somebody else take on a club like BP and see how they got on. So I kind of stepped back there, and it's actually been rather enjoyable to see somebody else take on a rather obscure club and an obscure save like that. So as for me and my progress through Football Manager in the last week, it's kind of stuttered to a stop today. So because, like I said, I've been so kind of removed from my save during the week, looking on social media, talking to some of you guys out there, it's been nice to be able to kind of talk and engage in conversation with others. And during the week, some questions that were asked of me, as well as some of the questions, again, I have prepared for asking for any guests that ever appears on the podcast, I'm going to take and ask now and kind of get this quick fire questions round into place. So the three questions again this week. And the first question I have here is, who is your biggest managerial influence? So I've grown up as a Liverpool fan. I remember watching videos as a kid of the Liverpool teams that my own dad grew up watching. So I'm always aware of the Liverpool way, the Liverpool style of football. So, and what he's taught me about football, my dad, that of course has influenced my managerial side on Football Manager initially and how it began through there. And then obviously myself, as I've grown older and read more and watched more football, other managers' styles, of course, have come in. Rafa Benitez was a great influence, again, with the Liverpool sides and that midfield dynamic of an out-and-out defensive midfielder, an out-and-out playmaker, and an out-and-out attacking midfielder really, really was something I tried to implement into the Football Manager games in the late 2000s. Especially with Liverpool taking on those specific players and then trying to see who else would fit into the system. As well as that, I have to say Jurgen Klopp at Dortmund, he really, really impressed me, and since he's come to Liverpool has really, really impressed me as well. So again, the high press and gegenpress side, it's obviously something that's you see a lot of in the community, people talking about gegenpress, and then with Liverpool as well being very financially astute in the transfer market and their expenditure and their wages. Money, there's a money ball element, and I've blogged about money ball and how I've approached money ball, and obviously it's a big topic of conversation in the community as well. So all these sides have come in. But the one kind of obscure manager who's really influenced me, I have to say, was Paco Jimenez. Now, Paco was the manager of Rayo Vallecano, which is partly a reason why I've taken him on a Football Manager, and he's currently the manager of Las Palmas in La Liga. And what I really admired about Paco was he has a style, he has a philosophy, and he just sticks to it. And for a manager to be as brazen as that, some might call it naive, but some people like me would say, wow, like, I'm really impressed. That's really something to be admired in a manager. Like, he went to the Bernabeu with Vallecano a couple of seasons ago and was beaten 10-2. And asked if he should have changed his tactical style. He said, why should I change my style? Because then if we'd gotten a result against Real Madrid today, it would have felt hollow because I compromised my beliefs. So for me in Football Manager, that's something I really try and take in. It's a case of, we're going to play this way. If you beat us, congratulations. We'll be gracious in defeat. But if we win, which is the ultimate goal, we will again say this, we've done it our way, and we'll be gracious again in victory. So that's something that's really, really influenced me lately in Football Manager. The next question that I had in was, what was your most memorable result? And now, when I think back to Football Manager, and I'm sure you think back to Football Manager, if I ask you, what was your most memorable result? Different times, different results pop into place. I remember Football Manager 2005 beating Arsenal 6-4 in the Community Shield final in a really topsy-turvy game. It was fantastic to watch back. But when you're involved in a game that's going so backwards and forwards, and you find yourself 2-0 up and 4-2 down and win 6-4, it was just a result like that really stands out. With Schalke last year, there were so many great results, some that really stood out. And then Football Manager 18 have also had some memorable results. Like, I've beaten Juventus with Sampdoria, and that was something that really, I was really, really proud of at the time. But I have to think, in Football Manager 18, in terms of most memorable results, has come with Benfica in the save I had there just after Christmas. In the Champions League, we played Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, and then Barcelona in the semi-finals. Both first legs were away from home, and we lost both legs. We didn't get an away goal in either leg. Yeah, against Real Madrid, we won in extra time. Barcelona, we won on penalties. We didn't concede at home. So it was just, they're just looking back, they're really mind-blowing games. And I just want to say, if say like that, they're the ones that really stand out for me so far this year. And then the last question, which is going to help us segue into the topic of the week this week in the inbox, is, do you have someone you bring to every side you manage? So this, I presume by this question being asked, it's, it could refer to a player or a member of staff. So like, if you ask Harry Redknapp, I'm sure he'd list off a few names. Nico Kranjčar probably being top of that list. Or then you think of the staff side of things, and you think of Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, and he brings his backroom guys, and he brings Zlatko Buvac and Peter Kravitz, they're his main two guys. So you think of, is there someone you bring with you? And I have to say, in Football Manager from last year, I came across a coach at Schalke called Aurelio Andreazzoli. He's an Italian, and he was in his 60s when I came across him last year. He had experience as a manager, as an assistant manager, and as a coach. But his tactical training attribute was 20, and his DDM, that little formula we use to see how well he can be successful in delivering his sessions, was also extremely high. I shared his profile not too long ago and said, if you can bring this guy in, he's fantastic. I had him at Schalke, and results, I could see the results improving. I could see the benefits, the tactical familiarity building and becoming stronger and quicker having this guy in the coaching staff. And it's the same. I brought him into Benfica when I got the chance, and he was fantastic again with Benfica. I brought him in right at the start. I made a point of going and finding him. He was unemployed at the time, but I brought him in and made him a coach. And he's been fantastic. At Rayo Vallecano, when I started this, I said, right, Aurelio, where are you? And he's the manager of Empoli. So if you can, he'd be a coach I'd recommend to everybody out there. But he is that someone I try to bring to every side I manage. So talking about those people that we follow everywhere, a lot of us might have that assistant manager we bring with us everywhere. And that was our topic of the week this week. I put the questions out this week all about the assistant managers, the number twos of football, the ass men. And I said, what do you look for in an assistant? What responsibilities do you give them? And even I asked, is there any memorable assistants you've had in the game for good or bad reasons? And why would you say that? Why would you say they were good or bad? So again, thank you to those guys out there who contributed to the chat. I got plenty of responses on Slack and on Twitter. So thank you to those guys. For me, what do I look for in an assistant manager? So, of course, you look at the attributes and the tactical approaches. I mentioned there with Aurelio, Andrea Zoli, the DDM is, it's the DDM formula. You add the 3 up, divide by 3. Well, that's how I do it. I use the simple version. And the higher that is, I'm more inclined to bring the coach in. But then, of course, you also have to look in the tactical attribute side of things, the actual mentals. How good are you at a specific or at multiple approaches? So are you good as, are you an attacking, defensive, technical? And I really, really like the improvement as well this year in the coaches. If you're looking for a goalkeeping coach, if you're looking for a fitness coach, that there's a much more diverse set of attributes out there for specific coaches. When it comes to an assistant manager, clicking on that assistant manager button to highlight what specific attributes you should really be looking for. And for me, I try to look at an assistant manager who has like that high level of discipline, who also then has a high tactical attribute or a high defensive or high attacking attribute. And especially if I'm focusing on him to be the tactical coach, his tactical style is the same as mine. And that was something similar that was echoed on Twitter by Oliver Jensen at FM Football Manager. He says, you look for someone who has strong tactical knowledge, similar styles, managerial styles like preferred formation, coaching style, playing mentality, etc. And that's something I definitely agree with. And it was even as well echoed on my Slack channel. So again, Mark Bowen, 17, also said like that. He also looks for an assistant coach who is mentally strong, and at least more than one training area has to have 15 as well to complement a high level of discipline. So he says he likes his coaching staff to be able to motivate and assist him to be the leader of the coaching staff. And I think that's something that's really, really important as well. The fact on Football Manager, when we start, we can pick our attributes, we can pick our style. Are you a tracksuit? Are you tactical? Are you, and it's again, you can also consider that also means, are you a head coach or are you a manager? Are you someone who's going to be like Alex Ferguson and step back and let your coaches do the work? Or are you someone who's going to get roll up your sleeves and get stuck in? And I suppose for those of you managing lower league clubs, clubs where there's a lot more financial restrictions, that you yourself are going to have to just get your sleeves rolled up and get involved in the training. But also as well, you ought to consider how you would complement your assistant manager. So for me, obviously I have my tactical styles and I like to be a high tactical, have a high tactical attribute. And then for my assistant manager then to be a high attacking or high defensive. And as naturally as it's worked out, it's the assistants I've brought in have been high defensive attribute coaches. And it's helped us in the lack of conceding. Samo, FM Samo, has also said he likes the good tactical knowledge, but not the tactics attribute. Because he likes to look at his assistant, see what get their thoughts are for opposition instructions. So again, giving the responsibility to your assistant of looking at and analysing opponents and trying to highlight how you can target individual players. And then, before a match, and get their ideas as well. And again, of course, the one training area and a good DDM. So it you can really, really kind of see how people are looking here at how the assistant's going to complement them. And an FM old-timer has said, I tend to stick to ensuring they have a good judging of player ability. And then the three core disciplines, determination, motivation, and discipline. And then the bonus, of course, of having good tactical awareness and coach. And I like that one. I like someone looking at the assistant as someone who's good at judging player ability. Because when you take over a club initially, there's an assistant left over from the original, there can be an assistant left over from the original manager. And his judging player ability is going to be, if the higher that is, of course, going to help see the accuracy of the abilities of the players in your squad right now. And especially if you take over at a time where there's a transfer window coming up, you're in the transfer window, of course, you can then see, right, where do I need to bring somebody in? So having the assistant there to be able to give you the feedback and give you an insight into the players, of course, is really impossible. A Cookie FM, he likes a good personality. And of course, a good personality. And again, which is a compliment, talking about the assistant being a role model, a leader in the dressing room who has your back. Cookie then also says he likes to look for judging player ability and potential. And I really then think, again, I want to add that then to the FM Oldtimers and FM Oldtimers. So looking at the potential. So if you're at a club where your main focus is to develop players, having the assistant manager who judges player potential and is very, very good at it can also give you the insight into saying, well, look, this player here is in your under 18s, in your reserves, and is an excellent player to have, excellent player ready for the first team, or will be a star in your first team. So again, the role of the assistant manager and complimenting you and supporting you in your drive forward. He also then continues saying that he lets the assistant do all the pointless media interaction, as he says, or the press conference, tunnel interviews. And I know a lot of people out there do like to pass on the role of the media interviews, just like Sir Alex Ferguson did with Mike Phelan when he didn't want to talk to BBC. And he said, yeah, I'm not talking to you, you do it. However, for me personally, it's just a case of I like to be in control of that, because of course you'd be afraid that the assistant manager that's beside you says something that you wouldn't say, and of course that gets the wrong reaction from the opposition and fires them up, or has the opposite reaction to your own players, and you find yourself committed to something you don't really want to. So I can understand in terms of wanting to progress through the game, there's a lot of clicks involved with the media, so having the assistant do it is very handy. But for me, I always wouldn't want to be one who sends the assistant every time, only maybe after a bad result. He also then says the best assistant manager ever had was Franco Baresi on FM12. And I think Franco Baresi as a player, that man was such a mentally strong footballer, intelligent. And if you could bring that to a coach and go, you're in a fantastic, fantastic state. Then he says the worst he has as was the week on FM18, and that was Rui Faria, Manchester United's current assistant manager with Jose Mourinho, saying he always makes stupid suggestions and he says always really stresses, stabs me in the back and contradicts me with the media. So again, that's for me something I'd say, well, that's why I wouldn't let the assistant manager talk to the media all the time. So maybe, but again, obviously, with time constraints people have, a football manager, allowing the assistant to take over there might be something you do. I also understand then that some people might go in and change the assistant manager on the first day. Again, you might have somebody eyed up, or you might just want to shake up the whole backroom staff. The option is there. So if you've ever done that before, has there been a backlash? What's the reaction been to making such a brave decision there? Then, of course, then there's the role of the assistant. So a lot of people there say they do allow the assistant manager to look at the opposition instructions, media responsibilities, and even the using them to gauge team reports, not just of your own team, but also you can also use them as well for the opposition in terms of that pre-match briefing, and also the pre-match chat with your staff, so what feedback they'd give you. But one that I didn't see mentioned there was the training duties. And for me, depending on who the assistant manager is, the training duties is something that I might take control of. Whether it's individual players, I might say, look, I'll look after the positions, but I might then let the assistant manager focus on traits. Or the assigning of coaches to different aspects of training. That might be something that I might let the assistant do, or I might do myself. All depending on the attributes and who I'm at. So like I said before, I've managed with Shelbourne in the League of Ireland, and they're actually in the first division of the League of Ireland, where money is incredibly, incredibly tight there. So the level of assistant manager you get there is not going to be at the same standard as I was getting at Benfica. So understanding the context you're in of the assistant manager, knowing that the caliber of who they are can also influence what decisions you let them make in the controlling of your side. But I think the one thing you've also got to remember is, at the end of the day, you can sack your assistant manager, you can remove them, you can change assistant manager. I did it with Schalke 6 months in last year. I sacked the assistant manager because I felt we didn't really get along. But then again, if I'd kept him and results, and I'd listened to all his feedback, all his advice, and results had gone the other way, I was the one who was getting sacked and he was staying on possibly for a third manager there. So you've also got to remember, the assistant manager can be really, really important for you in Football Manager. But if results go south, it's not him who will get the sack. So you'll be also getting the sack with him. So normally then, the third section, after talking about the assistant manager and his input into training, we talk the tactics and training aspects of Football Manager. Like I said, the last week's been incredibly busy for me. I didn't get around to finishing off the 3-4-3 tactical approach I've been developing with Ryo. So hopefully I'll have that released this week. But like, as I know with some people, they also allow their assistant manager to be involved in the scouting aspect. And in scouting around Football Manager's community this week, with all the extra free time I had away from the game, I've also noticed that the community has been really, really active in the last week. There's been a lot of excellent content. I just want to welcome you down to the final part of our episode, the FM Notebook, and that, of course, is the scouting, the community scout. So the purpose of the community scout is a quick promotion of some of the content I've seen published in the past week. If you create anything, please don't forget to use the hashtag #WeAreTheCommunity. Or if you'd like to direct it at me, the hashtag FM Notebook, and I'll try to feature some of your content in each episode. Links to all the content will be found in the description box below or in the tweets that come out when this episode, of course, has been released. So, starting off this week, the Northman has started a new save series on his blog with 4 parts already up there. He's taken control in Norway's 7th tier with one of the fallen giants of Norwegian football. So can the Northman restore this fallen giant back to the top? Follow the link below and you'll be able to find out. A series I've been really, really enjoying catching up on, and every time a post comes out, has been FM Catenaccio's Serpent's Kiss. Inter Milan, Catenaccio's style of football, can Inter really continue to hit the heights? So if you want to catch up on anything you've missed there, or follow FM Catenaccio as each post comes out, follow the link below. Ed Wilson and Casey Renzi have teamed up on Casey's On Site. Ed, of course, has been publishing pieces on an Arsenal save, which has been going very well for him. So if you want to see what the former Deep Line podcast host has been getting up to, you can find it on Casey's site. Casey as well has also released a post recently about the 2030 World Cup and how in FM it has turned into a dream for him. So if you want to see what Andre has been getting up to, find out all on Casey's blog. There's the blog site, Casey Renzi, with the link below. Guido has returned to the world of blogging this week, and his post on the quarterback role in our football, European football, has gone down the treat. If you've missed out, follow the link below and see if you can maybe add this intriguing twist on the ball playing defender to your style of football. Sir Valerian has been producing some excellent content as he continues his save with Club America in Mexico. So if you want to see what's been going on there, you can find out all that's been happening through the link below. On YouTube, Loki and Snoky Dog has taken over Liverpool in 1995, with John Barnes still grooving away out on the wing and young hotshot Robbie Fowler up front. Can Snoky rewrite the history books and bring Liverpool a league title far earlier than they are going to win one? Or maybe never again, who knows? But find out with Snoky on YouTube. Golden FM has run very, very, very many different simulations of this summer's 2018 World Cup. He's graphed and tracked every single winner from top goal scorer to finalists to winners. So if you want to get some insight into a possible winner for the World Cup this summer, check out Golden FM on YouTube. Another video that has been released, and it was just released just before recording, has been the Northman again, but his interaction save. So it's going to be on both YouTube and Twitch, and we as a community can get involved in how that save goes. So if you want to get involved and help the Northman's inter save develop and help him make big changes, you can find it all on YouTube and Twitch. Unarming Pines Eurotrip has been something really, really interesting to follow on Twitch. So if you want to see where he is and his latest stop, follow him on Twitter to see when he will be streaming. And finally, the 10th tip on this week's FM Notebook Community Scout belongs to Tempo 10. The guys over there on the podcast had a really, really interesting discussion this week on player traits and the role player traits can have in players' performances on the pitch. So if you want to find out more about the list and how you can develop different player traits for your players, you can go and listen back to the Tempo 10. Again, this podcast, of course, is available on SoundCloud and Acast and on iTunes. So if you could please give us a positive review on those, it might help more people to find the pod and get more people involved, and hopefully we can have broader and longer discussions as we could hopefully develop this podcast series. I have been your host at GafferGramo FM. Follow me on Twitter or my Slack channel, GafferGramo. This has been episode 2 of the FM Notebook, all about Assmen. Now, instead of looking back, we continue to look forward. And episode 3 is going to be all about chasing those all-important 3 points in football. We are going to be talking next week about going for the win. How you can try and turn a game on its head when you're falling behind to secure 3 points. What do you do to get the result? So I'll be firing the question out later on this week, but if you want to get in ahead of the crowds, you can contact me, of course, on Twitter and at Slack. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll talk to you again next week.